The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, comedian Shonda Pierce opens up about her life experiences of love, loss, and lunacy.
Somehow I am blessed with this unapologetic courage to hope. I just refuse to let the devil take me down. He's tried. He's gotten a hold of me way too many times. But I refuse to go away into the dark without loving God.
Everybody, I'm Tammy Trent. Welcome to Life Today. I'm hanging out with Randy Robison and another favorite of ours. She's been coming here for years, Randy.
Oh, my gosh. You were at the Christmas banquet last year, right?
Yes.
She came and entertained. But, you know, when she comes, she doesn't just entertain, she ministers.
Absolutely. That's what I love so much about her. We have the privilege of being with one of our favorites today, Shonda Pierce. I'm so happy you're back. And I just wanted to say right off the top, I love you. I respect you. I honor you. I have laughed with you for so many years. We've shared the same stage on Women of Faith for many years. I would laugh with you there. I'd laugh with you from afar. But it wasn't until I've read your new book, Life is Funny Until It's Not, until I finally really just sat and cried with you, Shonda. You weren't even with me, but I felt like you were. And I walked through this journey with you as you took me from beginning to end of your life. And I just kept thinking at the very end, God, thank you, thank you, thank you for not letting go. At times that I'm sure Shonda let go herself or wanted to let go. I mean, there's been abuse, loss, disappointment, all kinds of things that have come in and out of your life, and you kept fighting for life. And I can't help but to think that there are people that are watching today that have been fighting for life, that have gone through loss, disappointment, grief, and have wanted to give up and have asked the same question, God, where are you in the middle of it all? He is there. And I'm excited to talk to you about that so together we can all encourage people to be reminded that no matter what they're going through right now, Jesus is in the middle of it with you. Shonda, glad you're here. Tell me, let's start from the beginning. Why this book and why now?
You know, because Tammy, I have lived 32 years. I mean, I've done 32 years of stand-up comedy, and it's been fun and wonderful. And each night I will, as Randy says, he's so kind to me. And of course, his family is like my family, but, and his dad, I share the love for his daddy. You know, he's like my daddy. And so I didn't want the end of my career to come that I didn't tell the truth, the solid truth about the dark times, too. It's easy to stand on a stage and be funny, 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 and then turn that corner real quick and have about 15 minutes left of good ministry, and then you say goodnight.
Right.
People don't know the in-between, you know, that there's that, always that joke about on your tombstone, there's the day you were born and the day you died, and those in-between. People don't know the in-between. They know the ups, and look what I survived, but they don't know how poorly I did sometimes surviving it. And I think I just needed it to be what to do and what not to do, and just an honest look. And the prayer is that people see the survival.
Exactly.
You know, people will see.
Yes, you're a fighter. There's no doubt.
You know, everybody always says God is good, and then the congregation says all the time. There's been times I've sat in the church and they say God is good, and I want to be the one that goes, really? And the truth of the matter is he is good because he's always there with you. I think about the two, Mary and Martha, when Jesus came and their brother had died, and they're like, if you had just been here, you know, he might have not died. I mean, they had that accusatory anger, you know. And they were so, you know, disappointed that he wasn't there on time. And the sweet thing is, when Mary and Martha, you know, ran to him, and Martha is, and it says, and Martha stayed inside. She's like, I have just had enough of that. You know, I don't want to see him. He wasn't there for me, blah, blah, blah. And yet Jesus was there. And the first thing he wanted to do was go hug her too. And I know you're angry. I know you wished I'd been here on time. Just wait. You're going to be surprised how this ends. Yeah. And I am surprised I'm still here sometimes. Yeah, I
know. Shonda, people know you as someone who is funny, right? A comic. Is comedy some mechanism of coping with a lot of the things
yes,
you've been through?
Absolutely. You know, that's what I'm so grateful for. I had a wonderful counselor tell me one time, have you ever just stopped and thank God for your job? Because what a healthy outlet for a while. Mm-hmm. Now, I remember jokes I used to tell, and I knew the condition of my heart when I told them. And I was hoping that when I told them, the person that was getting the punchline could hear me. So, you know, she would know what she said when I was a kid. And she said, you're not very P-R-E-T-T-Y. I hope she hears this joke, you know. But then your healing comes, and then the laughter and the creativity starts kicking in of wanting to, you know, write words in the right space so people will laugh at the punchline. The mechanics of it kicks in, and you become so grateful to the creator of the universe who even created comedy as a joy function and as a place for medicine. And I love that. And I love that he's allowed me to survive a career for so long without ruining myself to continue my job. I love my job. Yeah.
What would be one of the greatest life lessons that you think you've learned that you could tell me that, Tammy, don't do this, avoid this, this is what I did, and this is, if I had changed this, maybe I wouldn't have walked down that road?
I think if I had learned to trust quicker and faster, because, Tammy, you know, even my days at Women of Faith, when people pat you on the back, I didn't trust it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm like, they're really friendly to me, but they're going to hurt me, you know, and to believe that not everybody is out to hurt you.
Yeah.
I think if I had believed that quicker, it's like when James Robinson calls me on my cell phone, I take it because I know he's never going to hurt me. Mm-hmm. There is a man that stood up and I can trust with integrity. When people like that came along in my life, it was a game changer because God knows I needed people with flesh on, not just the Holy Spirit, but I needed people in the flesh that I could look in the eye and know I could trust them with my life. I didn't have that for a long, long time. I had a wonderful, loving husband, and he had his ups and downs and his demons, but I could trust him with my life. And then when he was gone, I have a problem trusting men anyway, you know what I mean? And so I don't trust. And you might get burned. You just might get burned. Mm. You know, that little voice might have been right. They're going to hurt you. But it's still better to try to find a friend, try to believe a friend. When Tammy Trent says on the screen and says to you that she's proud of you and that she loves you, I fight to believe that, and
yes.
I do.
Good.
And it's taken a long time to believe it.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm so glad, because that's part of the hurdle, I think, is just as you said, both of us believing.
Yes.
I have my own set of trust issues, girl, when it comes to dating, I certainly have my own. And, you know, I wonder, you know, where does that come from for you? Why do you think even now in this season of your life, why are you having a struggle with trusting men?
Probably from childhood, watching a very unfaithful father. You know, he would take me with him when he would go meet his, you know, friends, you know, call it visitation, but, yeah. That's a problem. And I've worked through that a lot in therapy. And I think I was on the verge of really trying to enjoy the dating, you know, the obstacle of dating and the online. I used to say it's going to be the best material of my career. And then it just turned a corner and got really, really sad. And then I had a horrible encounter back in 2016. I was sexually abused by a man. The police had to come. I had to do the rape kit. It was just so disgusting. That will turn you off from ever meeting a stranger online ever, ever again. You know what I mean? And
yes.
yet, That's been many years ago. And healing comes with a block of time. And at times, you know, somebody will be nice and say, hey, would you like to have lunch? And I'll go, no. And if they're persistent, I'll finally eat lunch with them. But the truth of the matter is, you finally get a certain age, Tammy, and you know this, where I don't have to have a man. And I don't mean that in some feminist way. I am not at all a feminist. I don't have to have a man. I would like to have a man in my life, you know, a companion, a leader. I long for a spiritual leader in my life, but I don't have to have it, because now I've learned that the Heavenly Father can be a father and a husband,
yes,
and a friend,
yes,
and a companion.
Amen.
It's how much of him do you want?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's me. I decided I want all of that.
Yes.
I want all of that, Jesus. I want all of that. And it took me a while. I began to trust him as a daddy. I began to trust him as a, you know, a pal. But then to begin to trust God as your husband and your leader and your companion, that's a whole different level, and I love it.
I think that that's one of the most damaging things that men can do, especially to women,
right?
Because it's real easy. It's easy for everyone. And, you know, there are people watching right now that struggle with this, but we project our human experiences, especially with a father, onto a,
yes,
God who refers to himself in the Bible as a father. And if,
right,
if you have a, you know, some of the things that you talk about in your book are really hard. Your dad's, what was his diagnosis?
Yeah, he was diagnosed by bipolar is the popular term. Back in the day, it was manic depressive, borderline schizophrenic.
Yeah.
It's his high that would get outrageous, where he would feel narcissistic and just, but he wants what he wants. And in mental illness, what happens is there are these blockers that don't even allow you to reason. And so that's why it's important. Mental health is so important, because you can call it sin in the world, a demon, you can call it a medical condition. But if this organ isn't operating right, then it's going to affect everything, your heart rate, how you feel about yourself. And that, when this organ's not functioning, you can't even hardly hear those words that, you know, you got to be the leader of the family and all that. It's hard. Yeah.
Right, right. So I mean, here's the question is, how did you get to the point where you could see God for who he is and say he's a good God when you had,
yes,
such a dysfunctional father in your own life?
You know, I think that's the beauty of it. And I don't want to turn this into a James Robinson, you know, love fest, but it is what it is. I was well into my job for many years with this problem hanging in my head about the fatherhood of God. I was, you know, the breadwinner of my home. I was the, you know, dragging my kids to church when my husband wouldn't, kind of woman. But it was until the Lord allowed the scales to come off slowly and see what a fatherhood is supposed to look like.
Right.
Now, I'm sure James Robinson probably wasn't the greatest father in the whole planet, but to me, I begin to see it was the possibility. There was the possibility of what fatherhood is supposed to look like. And being a public person, and Tammy can probably agree with this, all of a sudden the Lord's placing you in places to make people laugh or to sing or to entertain or to host. And all of a sudden you get to rub elbows with people that are authentic.
Yes.
I met Max Cato. I met Billy Graham. I met authentic men that were so, they had no idea what the real thing was going on with me in getting to know them and meet them. And praise God that they, I always say, praise God, they didn't know the responsibility they had right then at the moment. Praise God, they came through, you know what I mean? They,
yes,
they didn't disappoint. They didn't let me down. Billy Graham still is the dude, you know?
Yes.
So I love that. And I hate that it's, you know, I'm not a shrink. I'm a comedian. So I don't know why it took so long, but I know that that's what helped. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. And I absolutely can relate to that. You know, my parents, I come from a broken home, and then my stepfather wasn't, it just, it wasn't the greatest situation. And so I definitely was one of those two that just, I longed for a daddy in my life every single day that was faithful and that was consistent, that told me I was a princess, that I could be anything. And so what a gift to both of us that God would bring us different fatherly figures that loved us well and continue to love us well. And my dad is a big part of my life today. Praise God for that, and loves me well. So I'm blessed, and I'm so grateful you've had it too. Shonda, there's a quote that is in your book. Maybe faith is not about what you get. Maybe it's about who you become. Maybe it's not about believing your circumstances will change. Maybe it's about believing in God, even if they never do.
Yeah.
God is a faithful God.
He is a faithful God. And I have, people always ask me, how'd you do it? And I said, I don't really know. I can't tell you step by step how to get through each and every one of these things. Somehow I am blessed with this unapologetic courage to hope. That was kind of what I said in the very last of the book. I just refuse to let the devil take me down. He's tried. He's gotten a hold of me way too many times, but I refuse to go away into the dark without loving God. I relate a little bit to Job, but I love Job because he never stopped loving God. I will never stop loving him. I'll never stop believing that it's true, that Jesus was the Son of God. I will never stop believing. And it's in that courage to never stop. All of a sudden, the days pass and you got through that and the days are good and life is funny again. And then sometimes it might not be, but I'll start again.
You know, Shonda, we so much appreciate you sharing and being so open. And look, if you're watching right now and you're in a dark place, maybe you've been hurt by a father or a husband who just was not godly, maybe is not godly. I am so sorry for what you're going through if you're struggling with that. We have a prayer line. We have people that will just take a moment to listen to you and pray with you. So if you will pick up that phone and call that number, somebody who loves Jesus will agree with you in prayer and just shine a little light into the darkness that you're going through. So please do that. And listen, if you want Shonda's book, we're going to offer it today for those who will help with our mission outreach. And I hope you will do that. But it's with any gift towards the mission outreach, which basically is saying, if you need the book, we want to get you the book. We really want to bless you. We want to encourage you with the things that Shonda's gone through that we're just scratching the surface. At the end of the day, we want you to be able to say, I've been through a lot, but God is good. Mm. Will you take a moment and look at this opportunity to help someone else who is in pain right now? And we'll tell you how you can be a part of shining God's light into their life.
So Tammy, we're coming into this village. I mean, I've actually never been to this village before.
Okay.
Our advanced team's been here. We've heard that there's over 190,000 people in this area that are chronically food insecure. There's been 6 years of drought here. So families told us they've totally run out of food. They've even eaten the seed that they had. So even if rain was to come sufficient to be able to farm, there's no way they could even plant because they've eaten their seed to try and survive. And so this really is a crisis situation. It's a case of us having to respond immediately with emergency food, bringing that in, being able to save lives, particularly of young children. You know, it's the little children like this that are the ones that are the most vulnerable.
Isaac, I think about that little guy right now and what his life might be like every day. I mean, we're talking about these kids starving to death because they don't have food. It rips me up because some of these things I've not heard, and I know that our viewers have probably not even heard some of these stories, some of the statistics, and truly the reality of life and death. I don't know where you're at in life today. I don't know what your circumstance might be today as you're watching this.
but I can almost bet you that it might be just a little bit better than the lives of these precious people here in this village right now. If you are in a position to give to this outreach, I would respond. If God is laying it on your heart, then I would respond and do whatever you can do. Because I know that when we come together as God's family, I totally believe, and those aren't just words, but I believe when we come together, we can make an enormous impact. And I want to make an impact in the lives of every one of these children. Let's do it today.
I was just in Ethiopia. That footage is very raw, and it's very recent. And the impression that those people left on my life and on my heart is eternal. The baby that you saw was in a malnutrition clinic, and she was dying. I think that was the hardest day of the entire trip for me. I mean, they're all shockingly hard and heartbreaking. But to sit and stand over a baby that was fighting for her life, dying before my eyes, and realizing that it was about food, the fact that she lacked food, her family lacked food, these children were all lacking food. Randy, it was devastating for me. I had to walk out of that room. I sobbed and I sobbed because I don't want them to have to live like that. And I kept asking God, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do, God, today? Because they might not have tomorrow.
I know. I have been in a clinic in Angola, actually, where I prayed for a little girl. I believe, I know God can heal miraculously. But she died that night. And that's a hard thing, you know. And you ask, you know, what do we do? Well, we do what we can do. You know, poverty is not a problem that's going to go away overnight. It's a generational thing. And that's why we feed 350,000 children every day already. And we only do that through the support of viewers just like you. And so those of you that have given, thank you. You have saved so many lives. But when we look and we see the situation in Ethiopia right now, and I won't explain it all right now, but I was accidentally in Ethiopia last year. Wasn't supposed to be there.
Really?
And got diverted there, and God touched my heart and said, there's something special here. And I didn't understand it. We had no plans to go there at the time, but then Isak went in. And look, we got teams on the ground. We have people ready to serve, literally to serve. Mm-hmm. We just need your support. Mm-hmm. And this is what it looks like. $30 will help feed three children for the next 3 months. Now, if you do the math on that, you go, that's remarkably little. Well, it's because we have many things in place. We just need to sort of cross the finish line. So your gift of $50 will help feed five children for the next 3 months. $100 will help feed 10 children. $1,000 would actually help feed 100 children for the next 3 months. We want to expand into this area in Ethiopia where I'm telling you, there's something special. God wants us to be there. God wants to touch those people. There's deep roots in the Bible. But we need to do it together. God, we're His hands and His feet, Tammy.
We are.
It's when we come together and we do something that people see God's love in action.
Yes, and it's the need is very real, and we also have a way to help these people. We know how to do it.
You know,
there's crazy headlines all around the world right now. Mm-hmm. One that sticks out to me so much was the BBC that said, Ethiopia starving in silence. Mm-hmm. They need us right now. It is dire. It is urgent. They cannot wait another day. Mm-hmm. So if God is laying it on your heart right now, I would ask you to respond right now. Do not hesitate. Make that call. Go online and give the very best gift you can.
And you know what?
Yes, tell me.
I want them, when they get the food, to know this was given by the people of God.
Yes.
So let's come together.
Yes.
Let's give them the gospel in word and deed. Go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can.
Right now, across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition, and even death.
Severe drought and famine, including in crisis areas like Ethiopia, means we must replenish food supplies immediately to keep feeding 350,000 children and help reach more people in desperate need. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send the blessing of taking communion. In this book, discover how the sacred ordinance of communion helps to feed your soul and remind you of the transformative power of receiving the Lord's Supper. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Life Legacy Journal. This beautiful journal and pen will help you write your personal story and share the experiences that made you who you are. One day, the generations that follow will be able to look back and learn from the legacy you've left behind. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You can see how urgent the situation is. I pray you will do something and do it today. Do it now. Go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can. And if you want Shonda's book, we would love to send it to you. Just request it with that gift. And Shonda, thank you again. I have one more question because there's some heavy things in this that you go into, but yet you say that this is everybody's story. What do you mean by that?
I think everybody carries something inside. We're in a fallen world, so I don't trust perfect people because I've really never met one. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so everybody carries some aspect of hurt or pain, whether it was a childhood pain or struggle or self-image, all of those things. Somebody carries that. If we could step outside of ourselves and our own pain, one of the greatest things that brings healing is forgetting yourself and stepping outside of it to begin to help somebody else. Mm-hmm. I think that's why one of the incredible things about what you guys allow people to send water to broken people, because that in itself will begin to heal us. We step out of our own pain and involve ourselves in someone else's.
Yeah. Amen. My goodness. I love you. I appreciate you so much. What a great day it's been with you. And remember, and Jesus wants to help you and me and all of us to begin to step out and receive all that He has for us, a great, abundant, fulfilled life. Praying that over your life today. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on Life Today.
I knew if I drank again, I'd lose everything.
With his world on the brink of collapse, comedian Jeff Allen found solace in an unexpected place. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.